بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 12th session, session number 12, reading from بواعث الخلاص من الذنوب. And tonight, بإذن الله تعالى, we're going to be looking at the 12th motivational factor, which can help a person to avoid and distance themselves from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we do that, we want to look at some of the points that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 11. The first question being, summarize the 11th ba'ith, the 11th religious motivational factor as presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. Summarize the 11th ba'ith as presented by Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. You want to go behind you? Yeah, Pate? Resisting desires gradually and what?
Develop habits to strive against nafs.
Develop habits, yani to let it become habitual that a person strives against and resist their nafs or their hawa. Now, what is important here in this particular matter, and we discussed it in detail last week, are two things. Number one, that a person, yani what is required here is that a person actively, yani fight against and resist these yani inclinations or invitations to act out upon one's desires. Jazakallahu khair. And secondly, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah is yani also advising us that this is something, in order to be effective, it needs to be done gradually, little by little, so that a person, little by little, strengthens their ability to fight against and resist until they're able to overcome their desires and to resist these things, yani, and to defeat them. Now, question number two. Briefly discuss the comparison made here between this ba'ith and the person engaged in burdensome or hard, difficult, laborious work. What is the comparison that Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentions between them? Let's try Sharif. Sharif?
Yes,
no. Yeah.
The increase in the strength to fight your desires, the more you fight against them, just as a person gains strength who does hard labor devil.
And just as a person who's doing some kind of hard labor, the strength that they need to do that labor is increased the more they do it. And likewise, the more a person strives against and resists their desires, the stronger they become in doing so. Now, so it's important that a person not look at where they are at the moment, but look at where they could be if they begin to resist and strive and fight against their desires. They will reach a point where they'll be easily at will able to overcome it. Question number three, Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah concludes this ba'ith saying, so totally abandoning the struggle against the soul or against the nafs, yani what will be the end result of the person who doesn't make any effort, yani totally abandons resisting? What happens in that case? Abdul Wali.
It weakens the influence of the religious motivational factors.
Now, the person who doesn't make any effort to strive against or to resist their desires, then that motivational factor, then he becomes weaker. And at the same time, the opposite happens, and that is what?
The
impulses to do evil, the influences of evil become stronger. Whereas if a person resists and opposes their hawa, then they will reach a condition of strength in which they will be able to overcome it at will. Question number four, discuss briefly the three fadail, the virtues achieved by mujahada, striving against al-hawa and al-shaytan. What are the three benefits, yani fadail, virtues, that Ibn Qayyim, rahimahullah, mentions concerning this striving and resisting one's desires. Number one, one of them?
Allah will guide him.
Okay, that's from the ayat, Yani. The power to resist, a person attains an ability to resist, And with that resistance, what happens? Two other things.
The desire
to commit sins is weakened. And likewise,
abandoning sins becomes easier.
This is very, very important because a person might find that their desire to commit sins is strong. So it's weakened by resistance. And the ability to overcome those desires, yani, is strengthened. And it becomes easier and easier for a person to abandon sinning. So it's a process. And a person has to start somewhere, and by the help and permission of Allah, inshallah, yani, you can attain, yani, mastery. Question number 5. Memorize the ayah from Surah Al-Ankabut, 29th Surah, 69th ayah, in which Allah mentions mujahada, striving in his way, that is, in his cause. Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullah. Anybody memorize this ayah? Fadl. Who knows the meaning of this ayah? What is the meaning of this ayah? وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينا نَعْمُ.
For those that strive hard, Allah says He will guide them to His paths. And verily Allah is with the good doers.
The muhsineen. Yani, this ayah is a very important ayah. We discussed it in some detail. Yani, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us that those who strive in His way, in His cause, then He promises that He will guide them further to the turuq, the subul, the ways of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that reach Him and attain His paradise. And then He ends it by saying that indeed, verily, surely Allah is with the people of Ihsan, the Muhsineen. Question number 6. Based upon this ayat, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, the most perfect and complete people in terms of guidance are who? Sharif. The person who strives the most, أَعْظَمُهُمْ جِهَادًا, yani the people who have the best and complete and most perfect guidance are the people who strive in the way of Allah more. The more you strive in the way of Allah, the greater will be your guidance, because Allah's promise is that those who strive in His way, He will guide them. So the more you strive in His way, the more complete and perfect will be your guidance. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah further explains that the most obligatory forms of jihad or striving are what? Most obligatory, he mentions 4 things. Now,
jihad
an-nafs, yani striving against the lower desires. And he said after that, the hawa, yani striving against hawa. Also,
jihad
al-shaytan, and also the dunya, striving against, yani, the attractions and distractions of the dunya. Finally, question number 8, summarize the first 11 mawa'ith, motivational factors mentioned by Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah. The first 11, number one. Ta'zim of Allah. The, yani, recognizing the greatness and glory and magnificence of Allah. Number two. The love of Allah. Number three, yani, loving Allah will enable a person and give them the ability to be obedient to Him, because the person obeys the one that they love. Number three. Acknowledgement, recognizing the favors, the many favors and bounties and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, requiring a person then, yani, to reciprocate, yani, to show something back to Allah for all of His favors. Number four.
Reflecting over the punishment of Allah.
The anger of Allah and His punishment. Number five.
Being conscious of
the loss of good. The loss of good, fawat al-khayr, na'am. That a person who disobeys Allah will lose out on good that would have come to them were it not for their disobedience to Allah. Number six.
Suppressing the soul and conquering.
Yani, the joy, the happiness, the pleasure of suppressing the nafs and conquering, overcoming shaitan. Number seven. Naam, Adam.
The compensation
Now the compensation from Allah.
The compensation from Allah for? Why Allah is compensating the person for what? For what? For giving up their sinful behavior. Allah compensates with them with that which is better in this world or in the next life. That's number 7. Number 8. The ma'iyah of Allah al-khasa. Yani the special, nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Being with a person by protecting them, guiding them, helping them, supporting them, defending them, and so on. Naam. Number 9. Is that 9? Yeah, 9. Naam. Recognizing the shortness of life. Naam. Recognizing that death may be near and may come suddenly. So a person has to pay attention to what they're doing. You don't know what condition you will die in because you don't know when death may come suddenly, unexpectedly. Naam. Number 10. Naam. The mashhad al-bala wal-afiyah. Yani that well-being is really obedience to Allah. The person who is in obedience to Allah is the one that has well-being, regardless to what their physical health may be like. Calamity or affliction is not necessarily that a person has some sickness or disease, but rather, more important than that, is the calamity or affliction is that a person is living in disobedience to Allah. That's number 10. Number 11, the last one.
Becoming accustomed to the methods of overcoming sin and becoming.
Okay, strengthening one's ability to strive against and resist, the calls, the invitations to the invitations of, calls to evil. That a person works at strengthening their effort to strive against the calls of evil. So these are some of the things that we talked about last week and tonight, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. We're going to look at the point number 12, where Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah says, and I don't know what page we're on in English. Now. Can the echo? I don't know how. Is there any? Are you saying online? Huh? So what do I do to fix it? Is there something I can do? I don't either.
Maybe check
the connection. Looks normal. May Allah help us. We're gonna have to hire a technician. Inshallah. May Allah help us. May Allah smooth it out and make it clear. Inshallah. Allahumma yassir lana. Allahumma yassir lana. Wafakna. Yu'inuna. Page in English, we're beginning with point number 12 on page 28. And in Arabic, we're going to be reading from page 34 and 35. Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says, الثاني عشر, the 12th of the bawa'ith, umur, those asbab, the means and ways through which a person will attain the ability to resist disobedience to Allah, to avoid, to restrain themselves from sin. He says, الثاني عشر, the 12th one, كفّ الباطل عن حديث النفس, that a person restrains and abstains, rejects that which is false from the hadith and nafs, the evil thoughts that come from the nafs. Restraining, resisting, abstaining from the evil thoughts, the internal evil thoughts that comes to a person's mind. Without even trying to do anything, they just come. So a person can't passively allow them to come and to settle in and to become stronger and to overtake them. Rather, we're required to resist, to fight against, to resist, to strive against. As the Shaykh Abdul Razak in his commentary, he says, Muharaba khawatir al-nafs al-batila. To fight against, to make war against these internal evil thoughts that comes to the mind of the human being. الإمام ابن القيم says كف الباطل عن حديث النفس وإذا مرت به خواطر نفاها. So when, if and when these thoughts, these evil thoughts pass through a person's mind, they reject them, they block them, they fight against them and resist them. They don't just allow it to settle in. And when an evil thought comes to a person's mind, they have to fight against it. They have to resist it. They have to reject it and not just allow it to settle in and take up residence and begin to grow and develop and then lead to that which is a person's destruction. He said, وَإِذَا مَرَّتْ بِهِ الْخَوَاتِرُ نَفَاهَا. When these evil thoughts pass through a person's mind, they must block it, resist it, reject it. وَلَا يُؤْوِيهَا وَيُسَاكِنُهَا. And you must not give it shelter. Don't give it a home, a place of residence. وَلَا يُسَاكِنُهَا. And he should not, cohabit with it. Live with these thoughts. Allow them to be a part of your life, in your home, in your mind, in your heart. فَإِنَّهَا تَصِيرُ مُنَى. Because if a person allows it in and gives it shelter and accepts living with these thoughts, allowing them to be in a person's heart and in their mind, then it will become muna, as the Shaykh says in the next line, amani or umniya. They become wishes and desires and aspirations. Person thinks about these things, they begin to desire. They begin to wish they had it. They begin to aspire for it. So now it's not just a passing thought, it becomes something that a person desires and they wish for. ثُمَّ تَقْوَى. I'm sorry, he said, فَإِنَّهَا تَصِيرُ مُنَى وَهِيَ رُؤُوسُ أَمْوَالِ الْمَفَالِيسِ. And these aspirations, these desires, these wishes that begin to develop when a person allows evil thoughts to dwell in their mind, he said that these are the rules amwal al mafalis. These are the assets, or these are the capital. A person going into business starts with some capital, and then they build on that. So this is the capital upon which is built, the development of evil ideas that leads to a person's destruction. The mafalis, the muflis, the people who become bankrupt because they allow these evil thoughts, to become aspirations. And these aspirations, these desires to act upon those evil thoughts is what causes a person's ruin. And perhaps the Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim used the word mafalis, muflis, because sins destroy a person's good deeds. So the good deeds that they've done, they end up bankrupt with nothing because they nullify, negate and destroy their good deeds by disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَتَى سَاكَنَ الْخَوَاتِرْ صَارَتْ أَمَانِي. So whenever these evil thoughts settle, cohabit in a person's mind and in their heart, live with them, then they become أَمَانِي. The evil thoughts become aspirations, desires and wishes. So after the evil thoughts, and evil thoughts, everybody is subject to this. Nobody can escape from this. But between the evil thought and the sin, the act of disobedience, Ibn Qayyim mentions four levels. Between the evil thoughts and the sins themselves, he mentions, amani, that from the evil thoughts a person begins to aspire and desire these things. Then he said, ثُمَّ تَقْوَى فَتَسِيرُ هُمُومًا. So from that, it goes to the next level. The next level of these aspirations or desires is what they mention in the translation as intention. I would rather say that humum are things that a person thinks about all the time. It's always on your mind. Thing that a person is concerned about and worried about. Because once you aspire for it and desire it and wish for it, then it's something that is working on you. It's all the time in your mind. You're always thinking about it. And that's the stronger level. Just aspiring is one thing. Now when this thing takes over your mind and you begin to think about it all the time, you're on the way, to the destruction. ثُمَّ تَقْوَى فَتَسِيرُ إِرَادَاتِ. Then it gets stronger. If it's left to settle and to develop and to grow, it becomes stronger and it becomes iradat, which they have translated as will, and that's possible. Iradat means that a person, has reached the level where they actually intend to do something. They have decided to do it. At first it was just thoughts that became aspirations and desires. And then it became a person's concern that is always on their mind. And next they make a decision to actually do it. And this is the iradat. Then he said, ثُمَّ تَقْوَى. Then it gets stronger again. فَتَصِيرُ عَزْمًا. And this is the final stage, yani the process where a person becomes determined. They have firm resolve. They have decided that they're going to do this and nothing is going to stop them. Yani intending to do something is almost the end. But once, when that becomes stronger, where the person says they are dead set on doing it and nothing is going to stop them, the Shaykh says here, yani, azman yaqtarinu bihi al-murad. Yani it becomes a firm resolve. Yani a determination that is accompanied by the murad, yani the maqsood, the thing that they began to think about and began to desire and then were concerned about and finally made intention to do. And in the end, they have resolve, and that resolve is going to be accompanied by, unless, yani Allah decrees otherwise, unless something stops them, that firm resolve is, yani, nothing is, that's accompanied by the sin, because it's going to happen then. When a person has firm resolve to do something, it's going to happen, unless Allah decreed otherwise. There's nothing going to stop them, like their mind is bent on this, and nothing is going to get in their way. Except that, they're going to, yani, fight against it. Ibn al-Qayyim says, Azman yaqtarinu bihi al-murad. Shaykh Abdul Razak, in his commentary, uses a different wording. He says, أَوْ يُقَارِنُهُ. Yani, Azman yuqarinuhu fi'lun laha. This is the same meaning, except that the Shaykh has explained it in a little bit easier language to understand. Yani, the meaning of Azman yaqtarinu bihi al-murad, it means, يعني عزمن يقارنه فعل لها. يعني it's accompanied by the person actually doing that thing that they have determined to do, that they're going to do it at that point. So it starts with a thought and it ends with a person committing the sin. But in between there are levels, which if a person doesn't resist and fight against it, it gets worse and worse and worse. It goes from just thinking about something, يعني to umniyah. Person, yani, what? Aspiring for it, wishing and hoping for it. And then it becomes humum, yani ham. A person becomes, it becomes their concern that they're thinking about all the time. And then it becomes an intent, a clear intent, irada, sayya. And then it becomes, yani, azm. Yani, a firm determination, resolution that's accompanied by the committing of that act, the sin. The Shaykh, he closes, Al-Imam al-Qayyim closes by saying, فَدَفَعُوا الْخَاطِرِ الْأَوَّلِ أَسْحَلُ وَأَيْسَرُ مِنْ دَفْعِ الْأَثَرِ الْمَقْدُورِ بَعْدَ وُقُوِهِ وَتَرْكِ مُعَاوَدَتِهِ. Yani that, and this is a fact that anybody who thinks about it cannot differ with. He said, repulsing, rejecting, resisting the first thought, yani when it first came to the person's mind, and you know that it's evil, yani it's an evil thought, you know that it's something that is not good, it's disobedience to Allah. Rejecting it, fighting, resisting, making war against it in the beginning, when the idea first came to a person's mind, is ashal wa isa, it's much easier than dafa'i athar al-maqdoor ba'da wuqu'ihi. That is much easier than repulsing, resisting the effect or the result of that which has been decreed. Meaning, the sin that a person desired and wished for and yani intended to do and firmly determined to do. Yani stopping the thought when it first came to mind is much easier than repulsing or resisting or yani escaping from the effect of that sin after it has occurred. Yani the consequence and the effect of it after it has occurred. وَتَرْكْ مُعَاوَدَتِهِ. And it is easier in the beginning, yani to resist it and to fight against it and to reject it, than it is, yani to resist or to, yani prevent restrain a person oneself from returning to it. And once the person fell into the sin, it's twice as hard to not go back to it again. Before the person committed that sin the first time, they had the ability maybe to resist it. But once the person fell into that sin, it's more difficult now to stop oneself from going back into it. Because after you have done it, yani everything becomes, yani you see it differently. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed something inside of ourselves that enables us to recognize that which is displeasing to Him, and that which is pleasing to Him, and that which is good for yourself, and that which is harmful to yourself. And a person has to, yani, accept these warnings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you have that first thought that this is evil, this is not good, and you have to move on that, and don't let it go any further. The Shaykh Abdul Razak, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin al-Abad al-Badr, hafidhahumullah, may Allah protect and preserve both of them, he says, al-amr al-thani ashara, the 12th affair, the 12th matter, yani the 12th religious motivational factor to help a person to resist sins. He describes it as muharabatu khawatir nafs al-batila, yani fighting against, making war against the false, evil internal thoughts that, yani, come to a person's mind or to their heart, fighting against it. So this word, the use of the word muharaba, as opposed to the language that Al-Imam Al-Qayyim used, he said kaf. Kaf means to restrain or to abstain from something. But the Shaykh, he wants to make clear what this means. This means this is not just passively resisting. This is active, yani, aggression, fighting against, resisting, making war against these internal, false, evil thoughts that comes to a person's mind. Why must we fight against it? لأن المعصية أول ما تبدأ تكون خاطرة في النفوس. Because the sin that we end up in the end with, in the beginning, it just began as a thought, an internal thought, khatiratan, fi nufus, yani hadith al nafs, just a thought in your mind. Thumma tatatawwaru litusbiha umniyatan, and then it grows and develops until it becomes, yani umniya, yani amani, yani aspirations, desires, wishes. Thumma tatahawwalu إلى حم يتحرك في القلب, and then it transforms into, يعني حم, يعني a concern that a person has. Here the Shaykh, as opposed to the wording of Ibn Qayyim says ثم تقوى فتصير هموما, and he leaves it at that. The Shaykh says تتحول إلى حم يتحرك في القلب. And this gives us an idea of what is the meaning of humum. Yani it means that it's something that is active. It has movement. يتحرك في القلب. It's moving in a person's heart. Yani it became active. And now it begins to affect the person's heart. This is the ham or the humum. That which has movement. Yani it is a thing that is always on a person's mind. It's a great concern or worry for them. And they're thinking about it all the time. He says, وَبَعْدَهَا تَصِيرُ إِرَادَةً سَيِّيَّةً, then it becomes something that a person wills to do. Yani they have an intent, an evil intent to do it. وَبَعْدَهَا تَخْلُصُ لِأَن تَكُونَ عَزْمًا يُقَارِنُهُ فِعْلًا لَهَا. He said, then after this, it ends up becoming a determination, or a thing that a person is determined to do, that they have resolved to do. يُقَارِنُهُ فِعْلٌ لَهَا, and this is accompanied by the actual action, the doing, the acting out of that thing that the person has made a firm determination to do. A person makes resolve to do it, and that resolve is going to be accompanied by doing it. unless something prevents them, unless Allah decrees otherwise. And we might, if we have time, and Allahu A'lam, probably we won't have time, but there's a good discussion of this matter, of the thoughts that a person has, that they either act out or that they resist, and the reasons why a person might not do it. In hadith, in the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi, I think it's hadith 37. I'll check anyway. I think it's 37. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab, in his commentary, gives a detailed, lengthy explanation. Perhaps we'll like refer to a little bit of it in the end if we have time. But what is important here is that this evil intent that leads to a firm resolve and the committing of that act, the thoughts themselves can sometimes be a cause of a person being punished. It's not just when the person reaches the end, when they commit the sin. Even before that, a person may be punished for these kind of thoughts. And Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah, he mentions the details concerning this, that perhaps, like as I said, we might be able to refer to briefly. Sheikh says, so the evil thought comes, then it becomes an aspiration or desire or wish, then it's transformed to a humum or ham that moves in the heart, and then it becomes irada sayya, an evil will, and after that it ends up being a firm determination or resolution accompanied by the doing of the act. These are the levels, yani the four stages that are between the initial thoughts that are easier and simpler to resist and to repel and to reject, and between the end result, which is the commission of the sin. But a person, yani, has a desire or a wish, and then it becomes their concern, and then they actually make an intent, and then they have a firm resolve. These are the four stages that Al-Imam Ibn Qayyim mentions, between the initial thoughts and the commission of the sin. And I think I'm going to have to apologize. No problem, mashallah. The Shaykh, he says here, in the end of this particular point, he says, Shaykh Abdul Razak says, فَمِنَ الْخَيْرِ لِلْإِنسَانِ أَنْ يَقْطَعَ هَذِهِ الْخَوَاتِرِ السَّيِّئَةِ, that it is considered to be good that a person cut off these evil thoughts فِي أَوَّلِ نَشَعَتِهَا, in the beginning, when it first comes, when it first gets started. فَإِنَّهُ إِن تَسَاهَلَ وَوَقَعَ فِي الْمَعَسِيَةِ حَانَ عَلَيْهِ فِعْلُهَا مَرَّةً تِلْوَ الْمَرَّةِ. Because if a person takes the matter lightly, yani they don't think that it's that serious, it's just a thought. If a person تَسَاهَلَ and thinks that it's not that big, and they take it lightly, وَوَقَعَ فِي الْمَعْسِيَةِ, and then as a result of them not taking it seriously, they actually fall into the commission of the sin, حَنَا لَيْهِ فِعْلُهَا مَرَّةً تِلْوَ الْمَرَّةِ, then it becomes easier. After the first commission of the sin, it becomes easier to do it after that again and again and again. حَتَّى تَسِيرُ صِفَةً لازمةً وهيةً ثابتةً وليعذ بالله, until يعني the person repeats, becomes a repeat offender, doing, committing that act again and again and again, until it becomes a صفة لازمة, يعني a permanent inseparable characteristic of that person, and it becomes that thing that يعني they are described with, that they are characterized with, that they will be known for, if not to the other people, known to themselves. They know this is what they do. He said, وَهَيْئَ ثَابِتَ, and it becomes an established, yani, quality of the person, yani, that is a part of their outer appearance. Perhaps the Shaykh is saying here, yani, that their internal characteristic and their outernal appearance is defined by this sinful behavior that they continue to do again and again, and he said we seek refuge in Allah from that. After this, the Shaykh, he closes with the mention of an example or a method a similitude or a parable mentioned by Al-Imam Ahmad. He says, وَمَا أَجْمَلَ الْمَثَلَ الَّذِي ضَرَبَهُ Al-Imam Ahmad رَحِمُهُ اللَّهِ لِحَالَ الْعَبْدِ مَا ذُنُوهُ. What could be more beautiful? Oh, how beautiful is this, yani, similitude, this parable, this example that has been made by Al-Imam Ahmad rahimahullah concerning the condition of the person with sins. Yani, what is the condition of a person in reference to sins? What is it like, their condition with sins? فَأَنَّهُ كَانَ يَمْشِي. Yani, Imam Ahmad, he was walking. بِأَرْضٍ فِيهَا وَحْلٌ. He was walking on the ground where there was some mud. فَجَعَلَ يَتَوَقَّاهُ. So he began to try to protect himself from walking in it. فَغَاسَتْ رِجْلُهُ فِيهِ. And then his foot fell into the mud. He stepped into the mud. فَخَادَ أَيْ صَارَ يَمْشِي فِي الْوَحْلِ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دُونَ تَوَقِّنْ. And once he stepped into the mud the first time, after that he began to just walk in the mud without trying to protect himself from it anymore after that. And he said, يعني, وَقَالَ لِأَصْحَابِهِ هَكَذَا الْعَبْدْ لَا يَزَالُ يَتَوَقَّ الذُّنُوبْ فَإِذَا وَاقَعَهَا خَادَتْ خَابَهَا. يعني, he said, this is the way it is for the, يعني, the abd, the person, the human being. لَا يَزَالُ يَتَوَقَّ الذُّنُوبْ. He continues to try to protect himself from sins until he falls into it, دَخَلَ فِي يَعْنِي وَاقَعَهَا خَابَهَا. Then after that he just, يعني, plunges into it. Doesn't have any more concern about it. And so this is a warning and a reminder that a person, a Muslim, who's conscious of Allah and who has fear of Allah and Iman and Taqwa, would try to resist sinning. But once a person gives into it, it's more likely that they're going to return to it again. It's going to be easier to return to it, and it's going to be more difficult to resist it after the first time. And that's because, yani, a person, like the example that Imam Ahmed gave, a person doesn't want to step in the mud. But once you got muddy, khalas, it doesn't matter anymore. Why am I making all this effort? I'm in it now. And some people said, since I already did it, yani, I might as well go all the way with it. Rather, once a person committed a sin, they need to turn to Allah and repent and try to escape from, yani, that evil path. So we still have a few minutes, so I'm going to try, pardon me today for skipping the English translation, but I'm going to try to mention a little bit of what Al-Imam Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions in his explanation of the 50 hadith, or the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi and the hadith that he added to it. So he mentions a hadith, Al-Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions a hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that which he has narrated from his Rabb, yani hadith Qudsi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it begins with, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ الْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ. That Allah has recorded, has written, yani, the good deeds of the people and the evil deeds. And then he made clear, yani, by some clarification of the details of how that is done. And he says, whoever, yani, intended to do a good deed and they didn't do it, Allah will record it for them with himself as a complete good deed. And whoever, yani, intended to do a good deed but he didn't do it, I'm sorry. Now, the person who intended to do a good deed, فَلَمْ يَعْمَلْهَا, but he didn't do the good deed, but he intended, Allah will write it for him as a good deed. The person who intended to do a good deed and then actually did it, then Allah will write it for him with himself as 10 good deeds, up to 700, yani, or many times multiplied, many times over. Whoever intended to do an evil deed and didn't do it, Allah will record it for him with himself as a complete good deed. And whoever intended to do an evil deed and did it, Allah will record it against him as one evil deed. Anyway, this hadith is a well-known hadith. We have discussed it previously when we were doing the explanation of the 50 hadith. The important thing here is that Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says that he also mentioned another hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah has passed over or pardoned my ummah for the thoughts that they, yani the evil thoughts that they had, as long as they didn't act upon it or speak about it. Ibn Rajab says that these textual evidences contain four matters: the recording of hasanat and sayyat, the recording of good deeds and evil deeds, walham bil hasana wa sayyat, and that a person has an intent or desire or determination to do a good deed or evil deed. Four matters: the writing of good deeds and evil deeds, and yani that a person has a desire or an intent to do a good deed, or a desire or intent to do an evil deed. فَهَذِهِ الْأَرْبَعَ أَنْوَى. So these are four different types of things that are recorded in yani these narrations. And then he mentions the first and the second and the third of them, and the fourth of them is what we're talking about tonight. That is, that a person intends to do an evil deed and doesn't do it. Yani a person has an intent to do an evil deed, but they didn't do it. Al-Imam Ibn Rajab mentions yani different situations that have to be considered here, and in most cases yani a person will be punished for that. In most cases, even though in the hadith that's mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim, that's reported by Abu Hurayb and Anas and other of the companions radiallahu anhum ajma'in, yani there are different considerations that have to be considered. And he gives a full explanation, and it's quite lengthy, and I'm just going to mention a little bit of it just for the benefit. So he says the fourth matter of these four matters that are in this hadith, yani alham bisayyi'at min ghayri amalin laha, that a person intends to do some evil but they didn't do it. Yani they intended, desired, but they didn't go through with it. Fafil hadith ibn Abbas anna tuqtab hasana kamila. So in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, it is going to be recorded for him as a complete good deed. The person intended to do evil deed, but they didn't do it. It will be recorded as a good deed. Well, that's the general yani ruling concerning this, but then there are some specific details. As Imam Ibn Rajab mentions, he says, likewise in the hadith of Abu Hurairah and Anas and other than them, yani that person who intended to do evil deed but didn't do it, it will be recorded for him as a good deed. In the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, it also mentions, innama tarakaha min jarraya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he left it, he didn't do that evil deed, yani min ajli, for my sake. And this is the clarification of this hadith, that it's not outright that every person who intends to do evil and doesn't do it get a good deed. No. Why did they not do it? And in the hadith of Abu Hurairah, it became clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that he left it for my sake, yani for the sake of Allah. And this indicates that what is intended by the person getting a good deed for intending evil and then not doing it, it means the person who was able to do it, able to do what they intended to do of evil, فَتَرَكَهَا لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى, but they abandoned it for the sake of Allah. That is the person who will get a good deed written for them for abandoning yani the intent or desire to do an evil deed. And there is no doubt that this will be written as a good deed for that person, because they have left the sinful act that they intended to do, and this leaving of the sinful act yani for the sake of Allah, it is a righteous deed that a person would be rewarded for. Second situation: person intended to do evil deed but didn't do it. فَأَمَّا إِنْ هَمَّ بِمَعَسِيَةٍ ثُمَّ تَرَكَ عَمَلَهَا خَوْفًا مِنَ الْمَخْلُوقِينَ أَوْ مُرَاءَةً لَهُمْ. But what about the person who intended to do evil deed and then they abandon it out of fear of the people seeing or knowing that they did it, out of fear of the people, or as a means of showing off, yani showing that yani they don't commit sins. The Shaykh says, so it is said that that person will be punished for abandoning that evil deed with this intention, the intention of yani abandon it out of fear of the people or out of showing off to the people. And that is because the one who gives preference to the fear of the people over the preference of fear of Allah, this is haram. And this is an evil deed due to which a person will be punished. He said, likewise, the person who intends to, who leaves it off with the intent of showing off to the people, showing the people that they abandoned these sins, this is also haram. So if this leaving off the sin is accompanied by the intent, this evil intent, out of doing it out of fear of the people or showing off to the people, then a person would be punished for abandoning that evil intention. And even though they didn't do it, but they didn't do it and if they abandon it for the wrong reason, for an evil intent for which they will be punished. The third situation, وَأَمَّا إِنْسَى فِي حُصُولِهَا بِمَا أَمْكَنَهُ ثُمَّ حَالَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا الْقَدْرِ. A person strove and made every effort to do that thing, to achieve what they intended to do. The evil thought that they had, with all their ability, they tried to get it done, but the qadr of Allah came between them and doing that act. Yani Allah decreed that they wouldn't be able to do it. فَقَدْ ذَكَرَ جَمَاعَ أَنَّهُمْ يُعَاقِبَ عَلَيْهِ حِينَ أَذٍ. So some of the scholars said, then that person would be punished for that evil thought that they didn't do, but they didn't do it because, not because they didn't want to do it, but because Allah prevented it from happening by the qadr. And this is based on the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said, يعني ما لم تكلم به أو تعمل. يعني as long, a person had evil thought, but they will not be punished as long as they didn't speak about it and they didn't act upon it. So whoever tried and strove and made every effort to achieve that sin, but then they were unable, so they didn't do it, then this person, يعني, this means that this person has done something, meaning they made the effort and they strove and struggled to try to do it, but they were prevented by the qadr. So this is an action. Yani they have acted upon that thought, they just weren't successful by the permission of Allah. Shaykh also mentioned the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, in which two Muslims meet with their swords, and the one who killed the other and the one who was killed, both of them will be in the fire. They said, O Messenger of Allah, okay, we understand the killer, why he's in the fire, but what about the one who was killed? He said, إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَرِيسًا عَلَى قَتْلِ صَاحِبِهِ. And he wanted to, he desired to, he tried to, but he was just unsuccessful. He would be in the hellfire also for his intent, even though he didn't go through it. He didn't go through it because he was unable to. The saying of the Prophet ﷺ, as long as he didn't speak about it or he didn't act upon it, this indicates that the one who intends to do an evil deed, if he talks about it, what he intended to do with his tongue, then he will be punished for doing so. And that is because this is an action of the limbs of the body to commit sin. That is, speaking about it with the tongue, that's also an action. And a person is held accountable for that. And this is also indicated in another hadith, the hadith of Abu Kabsha, in which he said, لَوْ أَنَّ لِي مَالًا لَأَمِلْتُ فِيهِ مَا عَمَلَ فُلَانٍ. That if I had wealth, I would have done with it what so-and-so did. Yani meaning the person who was committing, using his wealth to commit acts of disobedience to Allah. The person didn't do it, but he said, if I had wealth, I would do it. Yani that speech, saying that if I had wealth, I would be committing sins with it, just like he did, yani entitles him, yani, as the Prophet ﷺ said, فَهُمَا فِي الْوَزْرِ سَوَى. That they are equal in sin. Yani the one who did it, and the one who said that if he had the money, he would do just like him. The fourth situation, and this is the last situation, I'm going to have to summarize it because it's quite lengthy. The fourth situation is, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah mentions, what about the person who, yani, revokes their intention, yani, who changes their intention, the intention to do evil. They have an intention to do evil, but they didn't do it. He said they changed their intention, and they gave up their resolve, but not due to any reason that's from their self. Not because they desired to seek the reward of Allah, or they feared Allah, or because they did it for the people, to show off to the people, or to, yani, out of fear of the people. It wasn't for any of those reasons. But the person just changed their intention and lost their resolve. So he says, will they be punished for this? The intent, the thought and the intent to do this evil that they gave up, but not due to any reason from their self. Would they be punished or would they not be punished? And he says that there are two ways to look at this. The first one is that the person who had the intent to do evil, it was just a passing thought that he didn't allow to dwell in his heart or in his mind. And he disliked it. And he was turned off by it. So this person will be pardoned for that thought. This person will be pardoned. It was a passing thought, and they didn't allow it to remain, and they didn't like it, and so they would be pardoned from this. And he said, this is like the evil thoughts that people have, about which the Prophet ﷺ was asked. Some of the companions said, sometimes we have these very, very bad thoughts. He said, ذَلِكَ سَرِيعَ الْإِيمَانِ. Yani that the person who has that thought and dismisses it and rejects it and fights against it, he said that this is a clear indication that a person has iman. And also due to the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 284th ayah, Where Allah says, وَأَن تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبُكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ فَيَغْفِرُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَيُعَذِّبُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. And whoever or whatever, if it comes forth or if it is hidden, the thoughts that you are having in your mind, in yourselves, you will be called to account for it. Allah may forgive whoever He wills, and He may punish whoever He wills. Ibn Rajab says, this became difficult upon the Muslims. The idea that if they just thought about evil, that Allah might pardon them, He might forgive them, or He might punish them just for that alone. They thought that this was, yani, that these thoughts, passing evil thoughts, that this was, yani, what was intended by this ayat. And then Allah revealed the ayat after that, رَبَّنَا لَا تُحَمِّلْنَا مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. O our Rabb, do not call us to account. Do not punish us for that which we don't have any, yani, ability over. He said, so it became clear from this that that which they don't have any ability over is just, and that they wouldn't be called to account and they would not be held responsible for, was those passing thoughts that just passed through a person's mind and they didn't act upon it, they didn't dwell upon it, and they didn't hold on to it. So it became clear that what was intended then, that Allah may punish or forgive a person for thoughts, it means those people who have firm resolve, yani, who have a firm intent to act upon those thoughts. These people, Allah, He may forgive from them whoever He wills, and He may punish whoever He wills. The Shaykh, he says, this is the first one. That is just a passing thought that a person doesn't hold on to, doesn't allow to grow and to develop. Then, yani, a person will not be held responsible for this. Yani, this is something that a pardon, a person is excused for. The second possibility, though, are those people who do have that firm resolve, who are intent on carrying out this thought that came to their mind, and they allowed it to continue and remain with and dwell with them. And he said, these people who have that firm, yani, intent to carry out those evil thoughts that they have, are divided into two groups. The first group are those who had thoughts about ما كان عملا مستقلا بنفسه من أعمال القلوب. Yani, that a person has thoughts about something that is an independent act in the self, that's from the actions of the heart. Actions of the heart. A person thought about, an evil thought about something, that's from the actions of the heart. Like having doubt in the oneness of Allah, or the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the resurrection, or other than that, from the things that are kufr and nifaq. Or that a person believes or denies the belief in these things, in the wahdaniyya of Allah, the, yani, the oneness of Allah, or the prophethood of Muhammad, or the resurrection. These thoughts that a person has, these are kufr and nifaq. So all of these things, the person will be punished for them. And this person, from this, yani, from allowing these thoughts and having firm intent, yani, this is what? The person not just has a thought, but they have an intent to carry out this. If that thought that they have is from the actions of the heart, then this, yani, a person will be punished for this. He says the second possibility of those people, yani, who have a firm intent, resolve to act upon these evil thoughts that came to them, is the people who had the evil thoughts about something that's not from the actions of the heart, rather they're from the actions of the limbs. Like zina, fornication, or stealing, or drinking alcohol, or killing, or slandering a woman, and what things that are like this. If a person persists in this intent and this desire and this resolve, even though there was no outward indication of it, yani, nobody saw anything in their behavior that reflected that firm resolve to commit these acts of the limbs of evil, of disobedience to Allah, Ibn Rajab rahimahullah says that a person being called to account for this, there are two opinions of the scholars. Two opinions of the scholars concerning this. He said, the first opinion is that they will be called to account for it. That a person has a firm resolve to commit an act of sin, of disobedience to Allah from the actions of the limbs of the body, that firm resolve indicates that a person would be, according to the best of the opinions of the scholars, they will be called to account for it. Abdul ibn Mubarak, rahimahullah, says, I asked Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, would the person be called to account for these evil thoughts and desires and intents that they have? He said, إِذَا كَانَ عَزْمًا أُوْخِذَ. Yani, if they had a firm resolve, determined to do it, even if they didn't do it, the firm resolve to do it, they would be called to account for it. And this was the opinion that was considered to be the stronger opinion by most of the scholars of fiqh and the muhaddithin and the mutakallimeen. And he said that they use several proofs for this. I'll just mention one of them. The ayat in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, ayat 225. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُ. And he know that Allah, He knows what's in yourselves, what you're thinking about, the thoughts that you have, so be warned from having those thoughts. They said that this is a proof that a person will be called to account for those evil thoughts, even if they didn't implement it. And he also mentioned a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ, he said, Al-ithmu ma haqa fi sadrika wa kari'ta an yattari'a alayhi an-nas. That sin is that which waves or revolves around in your chest or in your heart, and you dislike that people come to know, yani what you're thinking about. He said, this is a proof that they will be called to account for these thoughts, even if, yani involving actions, sins of the limbs of the body, even if they didn't carry it out. And they understood the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that my ummah would be, yani, pardoned for the thoughts that they thought within themselves, as long as they didn't talk about it or act upon it. They said that is a reference, they would not be called to account, they would be pardoned if those were just passing thoughts, not thoughts that a person allowed to develop and grow and they had a firm resolve to commit them. They said that if a person allows these thoughts to dwell in their mind and their heart, yani, it takes root in their heart, then this is from that which a person has earned, yani it's from their actions, and they will not be pardoned from this. The second opinion of, yani, those people who are intent on committing some act, but they didn't do it from the actions of the limbs, he said the second opinion is that they would not be held responsible, they would not be punished simply for having that intent or that desire or that, yani, resolve. They would not, yani, be called to account simply for that. And this opinion, that they would not be called to account, that they would not be punished, has been attributed to Al-Imam Al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah, and is also the view of Hamid and some of the other scholars. He said, and this is because they were going on general evidences that a person, yani, wouldn't be punished just for thinking or just for having, yani, an intent or desire to do something. And this has also been mentioned by Al-Awfi from Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, that, yani, a statement that indicates this same meaning, that they wouldn't be called to account for it. And this is the end of what we can mention from, yani, the very, very lengthy commentary of Imam Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah. The summary of it is that a person intends to do something of evil, and we have just a couple of minutes before the Iqamah. They intend to do something evil, and they leave it off for the sake of Allah. That will be written for them as a good deed. A person intends to do evil, and they leave it off out of fear of the people, or some other evil intent, they will be punished for it. A person intends to leave off something, I mean, they intend to do an evil deed, but they didn't do it because they were unable to do it. They were unable to do it. Then they will be also called to account for that. And a person intended to do an evil deed, but, yani, but for no effort from themselves they didn't do it, then he says that, yani, these are two categories. Yani, if it's from, yani, the actions of the heart, then that a person will be called to account for that. If it's from the actions of the limbs, then there are two opinions. One opinion is that they will be called to account, and the second opinion of Imam Shafi and others, is that they would not be called to account. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. The main point here is what? That a person has to be careful of their thoughts. Stopping them immediately, evil thoughts, don't allow them to grow, to develop, to dwell, but rather reject them and fight against them and resist them, and don't let them go any further, because these thoughts, evil thoughts, even if they don't reach the point of committing the sin, a person may still be held accountable and punished for it, and Allah knows best. Inshallah, after. Because it's almost time for the Iqamah right now. Subhanakallah, Muhammad. Shalom, Allah. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayk.